have, Alan! Welcome to the episode. Fuck, that was terrible.
Damn,
that was supposed to say.
Good job, dude.
That was supposed to say welcome to episode 67, but I think that ended up sounding like. Well, we'll just leave it at that. Anyone who's seen Aqua Teen Hunger Force, the episode with the Japanese alien, that's my hero.
401k.
Oh, yeah.
401k! But this is episode 67 of the podcast of the Trigames and the .net. You're all useless, so go home. All right, episode over.
Yay!
Oh.
School's out.
Public service announcement before we begin. Just something I've gone through, and it took the longest time to find the thread. If you have a Sound Blaster card made by Creative, I believe it encompasses either Odyssey's, at least the two. I know the Odyssey 2, and maybe the first one, and the X-Fi, and you have a Logitech webcam, and you have a 5.1 speaker setup, your shit's going to be fucked up.
Mm-mm.
So you got to uninstall the webcam. What's been happening to me for the past year, on and off, before I got a new sound card, because I thought my old one was broken, and it kind of was, which is why the recordings were hard to edit, is all my Windows sounds would sound like they were taken down half a pitch.
Oh, damn.
Which is really weird. So, bing would become bing. And then, the sound that came out of my rear speakers would also come out louder on my front speakers.
It sounded like you said the sound that came out of my rear.
So when I would do the test and it goes, you know, front left, front right, rear left, rear right, the rear left and rear right would come out of the front left and front right, which is, needless to say, not how it's supposed to work. And I actually, like, something was wrong with my sound card and it broke down, which is, like I said before, why my recordings were kind of hard to edit, and I got a new one, and it seemed, and it was still happening, as if, like, that didn't fix it. So it's not your sound card. Trolling through the forums, found that a Logitech webcam of many varieties will fuck that up.
Hey, Ethan. Stuff.
And Ethan has just emailed us. He's not here yet. But we haven't done introductions, so that might not matter. Mm-hmm. So if you have a Logitech, what's it called? Do not have it installed when you try to actually, you know, do stuff with your sound card, like play games or watch movies, because then you won't get surround sound. And that's the end of the public service announcement. Thanks a lot, you fucking Creative and Logitech idiots.
You guys sucks.
So Ethan is sick again, and he will not be coming because he has probably allergies to life, so he can sit his sick ass in bed. We'll actually be good people and do this thing. So first, really, really quickly, like lightning, like Jewish thunder, since he's out today. Tony, what have you been playing?
What haven't I been playing?
Oh, man! Oh, that's rude!
That's as quick as possible. That's it. Move on.
What haven't you been playing? Is that it?
Actually, I can't do this as quick as possible because I'm very excited. Because I bought, like, 8 games for the Xbox 360. 6 of them were, you know, from the original Xbox. So I got them for, like, a steal. First and foremost, Gears of War, pretty damn good. But nothing compares to Bioshock. I am so impressed with Bioshock. I can't even begin to talk about how amazing that game is. And I had said that I'm a pussy, and I probably won't play this game, and it's true. I am a pussy. But for some reason,
you're able to push through this one.
Well, I'm trying to see what what the limit of my heart is going to be, because so far I've gotten the shit scared out of me like quite a few times. One of which I woke my wife up. You know, and she thought, it was like, I was like, oh shit, you know, and she goes, and she's like, what, thinking that, you know, maybe my pacemaker fell out my chest or something, you know, but what happened was, it got me a good scare. I fucking screamed like a little bitch, but then I played on. That game is just absolutely amazing. Austin, what did you think about it?
I haven't played it since I first got into the first hour of it, and it crashed on me, but...
It crashed?
Console game, expensive PC game, blah, blah, blah. Shut up, people. I really enjoyed what I played of it so far. Mm-hmm. I'm putting it on the back burner only because I want to get through Half-Life 2.
Right,
but I'm
right.
I'm almost starting to rush through Half-Life 2 just to get back to Bioshock, which is kind of bad because with Half-Life 2, you don't want to rush through that
right.
game either. Half-Life 2 is, you know, amazing, but that's for later. So that's.
So I take it you bought the orange box then?
Not yet. I have the original Half-Life 2.
Oh, see, I have the original as well, but then you told me to get the orange box. So
you should get the orange box only because, like, it runs. It'll as opposed to getting the regular Half-Life for the 360. Mm-hmm. Orange box version. I'm sorry, the regular Half-Life 2 for the Xbox, which will look a little bit crisper on the 360, but probably won't perform any better.
Exactly.
The Xbox 360 version will be smooth. It'll look better, even better, and I mean, you're basically on the Half-Life 1, 2, mm-hmm. Episode 1, Episode 2, Portal 2. You're getting 5 games for $50.
Mm-hmm.
$60 is 360.
Wait, Half-Life 1 isn't it 2? I thought it was just 2.
I said 2. Episode 1, Episode 2. Bioshock, definitely, I'm glad that you are surviving it, because it is worth surviving, as far as I've played, at least.
Fantastic game. Yeah. And then, so I started playing all the other games. I bought Outlaw Golf, which, I gotta say, I've gotten quite used to the control scheme, but it is a pretty hard pill to swallow. The control
really?
Scheme,
okay.
Yeah, the control scheme is as such, you use the analog stick, pull the analog stick down to pull up your swing. And then
oh,
pull
it's
it forward.
One of those things.
Yeah, pull it
okay.
forward as straight as possible to, you know, to forward your shot. And as I said, very hard pill to swallow because bonehead shit just happens because the analog, for whatever reason, is dodgy in that aspect, you know. You got to get it, like, exactly straight or as straight as you're comfortable playing with it. So you're going to make a lot of bonehead shots, and you're probably going to be discouraged in playing the game.
A lot of boners.
Yeah, but other than that, I'd say it's a pretty kick-ass game. Think it's funny. I have, of course, Half-Life 2. Deus Ex, which doesn't run. So I'm not sure if there's a thing that I could download from Xbox Live to make it run.
It's not out yet. Otherwise, like, as soon as you pop in the disc, it'll say, like, oh, there's an update. Would you like to download mm-hmm. it? Until then, you're kind of hosed.
That sucks.
I could always give you the PC version.
Oh, well. What are you going to do?
It's better.
I'll keep it just in case they decide to pull out a patch.
Right.
Hopefully. What else did I buy? I bought Splinter Cell, which I got it for like $2.
The number one?
Yeah. I'm sorry? The first one. Yeah, the first one. What else did I buy? I bought some other shit that I... Fable, which mm-hmm. I played for maybe about an hour. That's going to take forever. That is going to take forever.
Yeah.
And last and surely not least, Ninja Gaiden, which pisses me... That game is so fucking frustrating. I can't even tell you how cheap that game is, but yet somehow I feel that it's because of me, the player, and not because the game is just...
It is because of you.
Yeah, I mean...
And not to say that you suck, but, like, Ninja Gaiden is one of those games that you think it's cheap, but then once you get good at it, then you're like, oh, I just sucked.
Right,
like, the same thing's happening to me.
Right. So that's why I said it's probably me, you know, because after playing it a few other times, I... did some other moves that were more effective, but still you get on later on into the game and these bosses that just fucking decimate you and you can't do anything about it. You're like, fucking shit. God damn it. So, I actually got off that game to go to Bioshock because, right. I figured I'd rather have the shit scared out of me than to get fucking pissed off and launch something, you know? So,
yeah, yes. I've always thought that Ninja Gaiden for Xbox is digital castration.
Digital castration
robs you of your manhood.
It does. Fucking... It's emasculating. It's like, you think it's you like, yeah. think you're such a perfect player, and then you play this game, and you're like, "Oh my god, I can't suck this bad." But yep,
that's like playing through Jordan on Guitar Hero 2. But
so yeah, I'm very excited about the system. Very happy with it so far. Hopefully, I'll never have to experience Red Ring of Death.
Yeah,
fingers crossed.
Just keep it cool. Yeah, keep it cool in a cool place and. Plenty of ventilation. Now, what do you play?
I've been playing a lot too this week. I've been playing a lot of
so much for quick.
Yeah, I've been playing Warcraft a couple of days out of the week. We moved again to another server now, a PVE server, because we're just trying to focus on end game instead of getting our asses whooped like 50 times while trying to level up to 70. So mm-hmm. guys moved their characters and actually moved the very first character I played with, which was a mage. And I'm learning how to play with that again because I've been playing support characters the entire 2 years since the game came out after I finished playing with that mage. So now being in a damage-only role without being able to heal and shit, it was a little bit of a transition, but now I'm good at it again. It took me about a day or two. Over the weekend, I played Halo, the first. I'm in the Belly of the Beast part. Well, actually, I think I just finished that part, which is kind of rough.
And I forgot what part is that?
This is the part when you're in the Covenant ship and you got to rescue the captain.
Oh, Keys. Okay.
And and I just rescued him, so I'm in the next part, which is called "Stay Behind Me." Shut up and stay behind me, sir. And
So you're in the everything looks the same part. Okay.
Yeah, it's weird. Like I'm surprised I can navigate it because everything does look the same, but I'm really having fun with the amount of challenge that they throw at you, even on normal. It's like, you know, I literally went through an entire section with one health bar.
Oh, shit.
And
you were using your shield, right?
I was using the shield, so I was, like, running, taking cover. I'm like, okay, what am I going to do here? I'm going to use the needle. I'm going to knock out these guys who have no shields. And then the shields, I'm going to rush up to them, dodge the bullets, and just, like, pop them in the head. And then there's these the big Covenant dudes. Like, there's this one dude with a sword. And, you know, the swords kill you in one hit.
Yeah.
So I think I died to him like 4 times before I was like, okay, I'm going to throw a plasma grenade and make it stick on him. And then there's nothing he could do about
those
it.
Those things.
Yeah. So I'm having...
Oh! Boom!
Let's see. Saturday, I played Gears of War with Edu Buccaneer.
Edu!
Yeah, we played through X 1 and 2 on Hardcore, and I was Dom. And
oh, I thought you said you were done.
No,
I was like,
no.
Oh.
We got stuck on the worst part of the game for like an hour. The part where you got to drive through the area and shoot the spotlights at the krill.
Yeah, that's a fucked up part on Hardcore.
It's really fucked up on Hardcore. It's like, you know, you shoot them, but some of them seem to be invincible and they go through the beam, and yeah, then they just constantly so go circle around the tanker, and it's like taking just whittling your health down, whittle. But we managed to make through it.
I stopped playing on the Berserker.
What?
I stopped playing on the Berserker. I'm like, fuck this shit!
See, like, the first act is like a piece of cake now, but the second act was a little rough. And it was funny because we thought we died. Like, it showed the death screen and everything, but we made it to the next level.
Right. And that's funny.
Yeah, and then the next level after that is glitch. Loads of fun. And we finished that, and then we decided to call it a day. That was good stuff. Playing on Hardcore, and... looking forward to doing that again because that was really fun.
Hardcore.
Played Puzzle Fighter all through the week, getting my ass whooped one day for about 15 times straight by the computer. Not the computer, by people online. I thought I was good, you know, relatively good at playing Puzzle Fighter. I don't know shit about this game. I don't know shit. I literally, like you say, how playing Ninja Gaiden is emasculating.
Mm-hmm.
Playing Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix online is emasculating.
Say that again 3 times fast.
No.
Puzzle Fighter 2 Remix HD.
When people, like, you look, you just take a glance at the other side of the screen, and people have these big-ass fucking gem towers. And I'm like, well, how come I can't do that? And then they hit you with, like, 60, and your entire screen fills up, and you're gone. And my rank is like 0 and like 8 or 10 or 12 or whatever. I have not won a game yet online. And I went to my best friend Rob's house last night, and we were playing Pokemon. I acted like a 12-year-old and forgot the AV cables, so we didn't play on the Wii. We played it on DS, and he was showing me all these tricks, all these hacks. There was this really funny one that I have to tell everybody.
Wait, hacks without like... Without anything extra?
No, people hacked Pokemon to make it do things they wanted to do. Like this. This one guy. There's this Pokemon in the game, Ghastly, which is like a little gas ball. And it evolves into like a half morph ghost, like a half-human form ghost. Just has the head and the hands. And then it morphs, it evolves one more time into like a ghost with a body. It's Ghastly, Haunter, and Gengar, right?
That is very old. that character.
Yeah, that's the first generation. Yeah. So the video was, it went like this. Huh? What's happening to Gengar? And then it goes through an evolution thing, right? And at the end, it ends up being a hunter. He goes, it went down? And then it fades out and fades back in. He goes, hey, he's doing it again. And then it does the evolution thing, and it goes back into Gastly, right? And he goes, now my Gengar has transformed into a useless Gastly. And it fades out. And it fades back in. He goes, what the? And then it evolves again, and evolves into an egg. And all it says is, what the fuck?
And this is a video on YouTube?
It's a video on YouTube.
Okay.
And it's funny because, like, you had this, like, congratulatory music. It's like, bam, 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 da, 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 da. And then just to see what the fuck at the bottom of the screen is hilarious. Then he made some mod where you go inside this house and you talk to Pikachu, and Pikachu sends you to hell. And you walk around, and all this is the same screen over and over and over again. And then the kid is like, oh, I know how to get out of here. So he goes into his menu and goes to fly from one of his Pokemon. And the Pokemon goes out and flies, but it doesn't pick him up. It goes, what? Did my Pokemon just fly without me? And then it was, like, stuck, and that was the end of it. So, like, these people, like, making up their own levels and shit. But the guy has, like, no grammar. He's, like, says fucking F-U-C-K-E-N. And they're in the wrong context and everything. I'm like, damn, he needs to, like, spend more time, like, in school as opposed to at home coding Pokemon.
Making these levels.
And I think that's the extent to it. I was playing a little bit of Oblivion, and I was playing Burnout Revenge with you online, Austin.
Burnout!
I played the Hellgate London demo, which is loads of fun. I tested out the Marksman and the Bladesman. They're the only ones that you could play with. And I really like this game, but I'm probably not going to get it until, like, Christmas time after I get my new computer. I'm surprised that it runs really well on my computer, actually, with the settings on medium. And, Austin, what you playing? Because I'm tired of talking.
Nothing again. It's been another lazy week for me.
Oh, I know what you've been playing.
Actually, no. That Burnout Revenge, of course. And then there is the whole mention about Jordan before, how that's emasculating. Yeah, no more. I'm done with that song.
Mm-hmm.
I did what I need to do. I was breaking my guitar trying to freaking 5-star Jordan, and it's done. So my wrist is about to fall off, actually.
And you know, Guitar Hero 3 is coming out in like a week, and you're getting it like a couple of days after.
Yeah, but I'm not playing that. My wrist is going to be on ice.
Wear a wristband all week, and it'll repair itself magically.
Sure. Like I said, my wrist is going to fall off. My hand is not going to fall off. Just my wrist is going to separate itself from my hand, and the rest of my arm will just fall off. And then by, you know, indirect fallage off of edge, my hand will fall off. But, yeah, I'm not... I still have the 5-star fucking Miserlou, and that's the problem. And I'll probably punish my wrist by trying to do that.
Yeah.
News! We got way too much news, and we spent way too long in that thing, so we will rush through this. TGCD Games debut on the Virtual Console with Gate of Thunder. I never played this game.
Yeah, Gate of Thunder coming out. Oh, out already. Last week. Good. Get it. Shoot to heavy metal music. Bye.
Shoot to heavy metal music. Bye.
Yeah.
All right. The Madden curse is still in effect.
Vince Young gets hurt, out, and then he has a commercial. Next.
He has a commercial after he got hurt?
Well, he has an NFL commercial about his tattoos and stuff. And I'm like, haha, you're out of the season.
You are out of the season. Here's another, here's a candidate for Tony's trademark. Marketing! Mm-hmm. Guitar Hero 3 CD soundtrack will let you unlock 3 songs in the game. Or is that how it works?
Yeah, the Guitar Hero soundtrack CD has like several songs from the game. And... there's a code in the game that you unlock. You go to Xbox. Oh, it's Xbox only too. You go to Xbox Live and you enter the code, and then you get the. You can download those songs to add into your set list. Those songs are Carcinogen Crush from AFI. Nobody knows the fuck. Oh, because it's new.
Right.
Tina from Flyleaf, and a remix of Marilyn Manson's "Putting Holes in Happiness" by Nick Zinner and the Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
Yeah yeah yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. So
honeycomb big.
I mean, marketing, yes. but it's not like, oh, you get to unlock some super song that like everybody wants to have in Guitar Hero.
Exactly.
It's like you unlock some song that we want you to have so that you can buy the album and make us money. Next.
Next, indeed.
Next! All right, real quick, they have talked about how Unreal Tournament 3 is going to have mods and all that shit on PC, and then people are like, what about PS3? What about consoles? Well, easy way to do it. Get Unreal 3 for PC, make your mod, click the Export to PS3 button, and you're done, apparently. Hmm. This comes from Patrick Klepek at 1UP.com. I don't see here anything that says anything about doing it on a PS3.
Mm-hmm.
But at the very least, if you are a PS3 owner, you can get these mods because people will export them.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is pretty cool. Nothing about Xbox 360 yet, but of course, it's a closed platform, so they probably won't let you do it.
You'll probably be like, work on PC, and then leave it on your PC, and then connect with Xbox, and Xbox Live will be like, hey, it looks like you have mods on your PC. Would you like to use them?
Jesus. Next!
Yeah. But even then, like, Microsoft's whole thing is that they have a closed system, so they're paranoid about that shit. But
yeah.
Anyway. GTA 4 to support 16-person multi... What?
Next!
Nice.
No. Yeah, apparently Grand Theft Auto will allow you to have 16-player multiplayer. They haven't really fleshed out the details, but they're supposed to coexist in, like, the same world. Like,
hence a bigger delay!
They said that actually it hasn't been done since GTA 2. I kind of remember the multiplayer in GTA 2. It wasn't really that entertaining.
So I guess it's like a free-for-all type thing?
Yeah, it's kind of a free-for-all. Everybody does their own crimes, and then they wind up like interacting with each other if they have to go to the same area, and they like kill each other.
That's not bad. That's actually kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Next, there's this great article on Gamasutra.com on how the ESRB rating system works and how employees rate their games. If anyone wants to go read it, it's http://www. Is it backslash or front slash?
Front slash.
I hate these fucking things. http://www.gamasutra.com. That's gamasutra.com/view/1970/this_game_is_not_yet_rated_inside_for_no_apparent_reason.php.
Yeah, weird.
I don't know why there's that last underscore there. But
first of all, it'll take you about 10 minutes just to enter it in, and just set aside about 2 hours just to read this article.
Underscore!
Yeah. Next!
But, yeah, one of the notable things is... No, not next. Is, So I'll just read a little bit of the intro. Tell us a bit about the people who rate games. How many raters does the ESRB employ? How are they selected? Patricia Vance is the person they interviewed, and she says the ESRB has a staff of 6 full-time raters, and they're hired through a fairly straightforward interview process. What kind of things are you looking for in the raters? Do they have to be gamers? She says, we prefer raters who've had experience with children, whether through their profession or by being parents or caregivers themselves. We also want people who are articulate and thoughtful, able to express and defend their opinions about content, as well as people who are familiar with video games. They don't have to be hardcore fans, but they should have experience playing games, especially since part of their job is to test final product after its release to confirm that the original submission materials prepared by the publisher reflect the final product. How diverse is your pool of raters? Our group of raters includes a mix of male and female, parents and non-parents, hardcore gamers and more casual gamers, younger and older. That's a lot.
Sounds like
of,
one of each.
Yeah, that's a lot of details for 6 people.
Mm-hmm.
We recruit from the New York metropolitan area. Tony, us.
Please.
Which has one of the most culturally and socially diverse populations in the country. Yay, yay!
Big up.
Well, we went through this. Do you really want to go to this and have your opinions be overrated? Just because you have to put a rating on this and stuff? Like, are you going to give a game an MA rating just because the consensus says it's too violent or it just contains too many usage of the word ass? You know, that's the whole thing. So
I don't know. I mean, it's like a jury. I mean, you have to come to an agreement on something.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if there are any more interesting questions. What's the most time-consuming step of the process? She says it's really tough to generalize about these types of things because type of product that we're so varied. It really comes down to the individual submission. Some games might have a long submission video, but the rating will be fairly apparent and not much discretion required. For others, it's the opposite, where the raters' dialogue is more time-consuming than the part of the process. Our focus is on thoroughness and thoughtfulness. So I guess I glanced over this beginning part, but I think Tony, Al has mentioned this before, the way that they rate games, they look at a videotape of all the, what is it, all the anything notable or just the worst?
I think it's supposed to be the big
hits. The big hits, okay. And that's kind of how Hot Coffee got through, because they probably didn't include that on the video. anything interesting else? Do raters tend to rate games that they enjoy playing? We rate over 1,000 games a year. Some of those games are undoubtedly games that raiders like, and some are, I'm sure, games of which they're not the biggest fans.
Mm-hmm.
But whether or not they like a given game has nothing to do with the job they do each day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's right.
How are disagreements among the raiders resolved? Usually through discourse. They express their opinions about the content and recommend ratings to the group that they think are most appropriate, and they will deliberate together trying to find common ground.
And then if they can't find common ground, they go to fisticuffs.
What are you talking about?
What are you looking at? What are you looking at?
Oh, is that what she says? What are you looking at? What are you looking at? They may review submissions for similar games previously rated by the ESRB to help with the parity aspect, so I guess by precedent. But ultimately, ratings are based on the majority consensus of raters, not a unanimous agreement.
Susan,
So let's see if there's anything on the last page. Are those parents allowed to involve their children in the rating process? The submission materials that raters review are confidential, and they're strictly forbidden from discussing the content of those materials outside the office. We expect the raters' own life experience and the developmental experience of their children to play a role in guiding their judgments, and we do not try to inhibit that as part of the rating process. To help us discuss this, I want to read a mail from Leiden from Game Slaves.
Good
he
job.
He talks
yeah,
about
let's
this.
Do that.
Charlie. Wow, he really goes off on this. This may be a little extreme, but I'm extreme kind of guy, so I'm going to go there. I do think like this, though, and I do believe that everything I'm writing. However, I may omit some clarifying things in the purpose of not making this too long, so they have 6 people who rate the games and decide which age levels can play these games. 6 culturally diverse people from New York City, parents, non-parents, casual gamers, hardcore gamers, and I'm sure different age group. Okay, that's cool, but is it? Who the fuck does the ESRB think they are hiring 6 people who define what is okay for me to see? These fucking 6 people are given the power, given the spell G-I-V-E-N, buddy, through a hiring process to tell me what is acceptable to see in a video game. Last I checked, this is America, baby. Freedom and shit, right? Where's my freedom to play anything, read anything, watch anything I want without some group of peers telling me that it's okay? Our founding fathers founded this country so that they could get away from religious persecution, and away from being told what to do, but it seems like we're right back where we started. I don't know about you guys, but for me, even if I had the choice of who was rating these games, I cannot think of any one person on this earth who could tell me what is okay for me to play. Granted, these sort of systems are kind of needed, I guess, in the public eye to give parents and whatnot an idea of what their kids are playing, which is fine and dandy. I guess my beef is when they take games off or ban them or whatever because of the content of the game. Not so much the rating systems themselves, but the people who ban this shit. But don't get me wrong, I hate rating systems too, because as I said, no one can tell me what is acceptable for me. I hate this idea that everything has to be nice and okay for everyone, and everyone should get along. Fuck you, it's human nature to be angry, be offended, be aggressive. These are things that happen every day, regardless how much you repress them. Once again, I've lost track of where I was going with things, but I pose a question. Can you name anyone who is qualified enough to tell you what is acceptable for you to play, watch, read, or look at? As I said, I can't. Fuck you, rating systems, and fuck you, committees, for telling me what's okay for me. Sorry if this doesn't make too much sense or is too long, but goddammit, this shit makes me mad and unintelligible. And bad spelling. Just kidding. I cannot name anyone who can tell me what is appropriate for me, but I can tell you an idea of people who I would accept telling what is appropriate for me if I were 15 years old. A hardcore gamer parent who understands the industry, who understands games, but who also understands what it takes to be a parent. Yeah, they are appropriate. And like it or not, Leiden, I mean, these things are somewhat necessary to not to control people, but just to... Kids are dumb. I mean, kids are still developing. It's the parent... when I always rail on things, it's the parents who don't do their job as parents. The part of a parent's job is to tell you what is appropriate for you as a child.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no problem with that. I have a problem with parents not doing their job. I have no problem with kids being told what and what they cannot do until they're at a mature age that they can understand what the fuck is going on in life. Because, kids are dumb. They're developing. They're learning. They're soaking shit up like a sponge. Part of the development process is not controlling their every move and telling and like throwing them into jail if they do something. It's at least letting them know what things are and what's real and what's fake. And if a parent so chooses to let his kid play an M game but explain it to him, so be it. That's the parent's judgment. If they can pull it off, that's fine. The ratings are not there to ban anything. And the AO thing is just blame Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft for not letting AO games come on their consoles. It's not the ESRB. That's all I got to say about that. You guys turn?
I chime.
Ding!
You chime?
Yeah, I would say that the only person I can really trust is someone who has experience. I'm not going to let some government politician tell me...
Jack Thompson!
No, yeah. Well, he's not a government politician.
Hillary Clinton!
He's a lawyer. But I'm talking about Lee Yee and Hillary
Charlie Lieberman!
Charlie Murphy?
Charlie Murphy!
I let Charlie Murphy tell me what I could play, because he'd be like, man, you play anything.
Yo, let me tell you something. You can play whatever the fuck you want. Yeah, GameStop. He called GameSpot GameStop on camera once.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, I want to... You got stores, the best shit, the hottest shit. You at the GameStop event. It's Charlie Murphy. And I was like, I was there, and I was kind of like,
Oh, man. Embarrassing.
But go on,
Tony. Sorry. Yeah, that was, yeah.
Well, if I had to have anybody tell me what games to play, it would be the knowledgeable staff of TryGames.net. That's TryGames.net, everybody.
TryGames.net. Spell it out for the people.
TryGames.net.
Yeah, I guess just in closing, like, yeah, I do agree that, you know, as a supposed free country, it's kind of unsettling to have people telling us what we can or cannot do. But again, I think the key with the ratings thing is it's not telling us what we can or can't do.
It's suggesting.
It's a suggestion that, and I mean, it's a touchy subject. I mean, it's somewhat telling us what we can and cannot do because it's you know, it's trying to enforce this in stores. Stores will ID you and it won't sell you a game. If you're too young, unless the parents there and stuff. But, I mean, really, again, parenting is a job that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And whether people like it or not, then, you know, they can either go bitch about it or wait till they're 17. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Interesting story. When I was buying my games at GameStop.
GameStop!
When I was buying my games, there was this 40-year-old guy who bought Halo 3 for the PC.
Virgin?
I'm sorry?
Nothing. I said 40-year-old version. That was stupid. Go ahead.
Anyway, he goes online and he's buying Halo 3, and wouldn't you know the guy carded him? He was like, it's required by law to do so. And I was like, that's not a fucking law.
No, it's not.
That is not a law. A 40-year-old guy can't buy a game without being carded? That's just fucking stupid.
And I could buy the same game.
It's probably against store policy, but not against the law. Not yet. What'd you say, Al?
I said I could buy that same game and not get carded. I've bought mad M-rated games. I went to Best Buy and bought freaking Oblivion, and they just go, yes. It's like, is this person born before XX date 1984 or whatever it is? And they just hit yes. I'm like, maybe I should shave the hair off my face and come back and see if you guys card me.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, though, I mean, like, as I guess some people might, you know, call me a Nazi for this shit, and no, I'm not. I actually like it when I get carded because it's like, okay, these guys are doing their job. It's not necessarily that I agree that oh, they have to be so strict about things, but, you know, when people are doing their job, that, you know, that's I like that.
And I take it in a different aspect. I take it that they're not necessarily doing their job. They're just saving themselves from a possible lawsuit, which is just bullshit. You know, imagine getting...
Well, maybe so, but in doing so, they have to do their job to do it. So,
oh, no, I totally understand, but it's a shitty job. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, why should you get sued just because some 40-year-old guy doesn't get carded?
I do, but at the same time, in doing your job, you also are fulfilling something that I think is, you know, helping, at least, in some way.
It's not helping the 40-year-old guy.
Fuck him. I mean, so what? So what, he has to pull out a card? I mean, it's not that big of an inconvenience for me. If anybody is really whining that much about just pulling out an ID and then putting it back in the wallet, then, you know, fuck you. Go back home.
But I'm saying there should be freedom of discretion as well. It shouldn't be just like a blanket policy that says card everyone. I think that's stupid. If a parent comes in and wants to buy a game for a kid, why are you going to card the – what the fuck is the point? You know, there's no point to it. That's all I'm saying. The parent later on wants to sue. That's –
Dude, you can never know. They're fucking like 14-year-olds with full beards and like probably bushels of pubic hair.
They thought I was a teacher in school. Yeah, exactly. But so I never got carded.
I guess you just never know. That's why. You just never know.
Yeah, and it's like tobacco. They you know, they get those stories like, we card 13 to 40. I'm like, congratulations. More power to you.
It's really funny because, like, sometimes I see signs that say, if you are under the age of 25, we will card you. And I'm like, how do you know that we're under the age of 25 when you see us?
Yeah. You cut off the arm and count the rings.
Oh, 25 bloody rings! Let's move on. Sorry, I overextended this. I apologize.
Yes.
We'll just treat the others like redheaded stepchilds.
Yes. Sony confirms 40GB PS3 for US. Drops price 80GB. You can get the 80GB model for $499 starting November 2. And the 40GB PS3 for $399 starting November 2. 40GB PS3 has no
backwards compatibility.
But it's $400 and it's a Blu-ray player. So, there's a, you know, I mean, honestly, like, let me say this really fast, like, I think it's really shitty because of the fact that they were touting backwards compatibility as their huge feature. I think it's rotten that they had to do this, and I think it's rotten for the consumer that was expecting good backwards compatibility as a standard feature because they touted it as such, and they were making fun of Microsoft for Software BC. But at the same time, at least they're getting into the $400 price range. That is where they need to be. If they need to do that to sell machines, then so be it. I mean, they just need to eat some crow and admit that they were stupid for pimping this feature because they're idiots that way. But $400, not for me, but like that has proven to be the market price now with the 360 launching at $400. So
yeah,
hopefully November should be a good month for them, especially because it's the holiday season.
Yep. Next.
Who's this thing?
Koji
Igarashi, Castlevania boy, confirms that there is, and this is really short. He confirms that there is a PSP. I'm sorry, a new DS Castlevania that will come out. I think before we mentioned that, but we only said that he was thinking about it. But he is confirming for sure that they're going to do a new one. He's not sure when, but he's going to do it. And the PSP Castlevania is coming to the U.S. first. That's right, baby.
Wow.
Gonna get my fucking Symphony of the Night / Dracula X / remake on. That's gonna be probably the best PSP game I own.
Wow.
Because it's freaking Dracula X, and you can't get any better than that. Well, you can, but
more androgynous heroes.
Yes, Tony, you should get that because it's Castlevania and it's awesome.
Wow. And it's Rondo of Blood.
Blood.
Wow. Actually buying a game for a PSP, that's a new notion to me.
Yeah, well, that one will save your life. Next, EA agrees with Dennis Dyack. EA's one platform vision. This is from NextGen.biz by Chris Graft. Let's see what it says.
Greedy motherfuckers.
A senior exec at EA envisions a time where there is a single all-encompassing gaming platform that one analyst predicts will be basically a boiled-down PC. We want an open standard platform which is much easier than having five which are not compatible. We're platform agnostic and we definitely don't want to have one platform which is a walled garden.
Platform agnostic, PS2 versus Dreamcast, platform agnostic,
yeah.
Eat crow.
What'd you say? Eat crow?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Eat crow. Yeah, they're fuckwads for doing that. But I think we've had this discussion before. I think it was when, yeah, Dennis Dyack's One Console Future, that was a couple of episodes ago. Mm-hmm. I believe I was of the mindset, and a lot of us were of the mindset, that it's not practical from a logistical standpoint at this point.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it's a boiled-down PC.
Well, I think basically what he's saying is just to have – what he's saying is that you know how a PC is – well,
it's like a media center.
It's kind of an open platform. You know?
Yeah.
Like, different hardware configurations work together. And that's where the practicality aspect came in. I think that's what Ethan – I think that's what all of us are saying, that, like, you have compatibility issues with that
especially
little set-top box.
Especially if you
box.
Have that kind of
– yeah.
Well, but maybe not with a set-top box.
Well, yeah, if they standardize the thing. Yeah. I think the problem is really still prohibitive cost. Once we get to that point in the future where it's like 50 years down the line and all like the hardware that's powerful enough to run the most fucking impressive games is cheap enough to be sold for $250, then yeah, I mean, yeah, that's fine. I mean, because the biggest thing right now is the option. I want to buy a Wii because it's $250 and it's simple. I want to buy a PS3 because it's $600 and it's like the powerhouse. I want to buy a PC because that is the most expensive thing in the world, but I can do so much with it. Once that type of thing where developers don't really feel the need to push hardware anymore and they can get to a hardware standard that's really powerful in 50 years but only costs X amount of dollars to buy and is standardized, then Yeah, and if broadband penetration is there, then sure, I wouldn't mind it. As long as I have the option to do what I want with it, if I can have my Wiimote controller, or if I can have whatever, and like that's not a logistical problem because you know standards are the hugest problem with all these console things, then sure, bring it on. But I don't see that happening for a long time because things are just too expensive and companies are too greedy.
Mm-hmm. Like EA and their One Platform Vision talking about, oh, we just want to make all the money from our sales.
Exactly.
without having to publish titles for five different platforms, we just want to publish one shitty title for one platform that has Madden's name on it, and all the fucking guys who have this one thing who would have had across five platforms will all buy it, and then we won't shit on the PC version.
Don't they have the mindset of they also want to be the single developer out there as well? You know, like you know, one platform.
Yeah, they all do. They all want to gobble up everyone else. Yeah. But
it's called monopoly.
To be honest, that's definitely not. They know that that's probably not going to happen because they can't buy out Activision. Activision's too big. Activision was the biggest publisher this year, bigger than them. Mm-hmm. They failed. Their attempts to buy Ubisoft have kind of failed so far, but I don't know that much about that. I mean, I will say about the whole, like, yeah, they just want to make money. That this is America. Mm-hmm. They can make their money.
I actually
would rather them make their money because the industry is, like, with all the costs that it costs to develop shit, I mean,
they kind of deserve to make some money.
Huh?
They kind of deserve to make some money.
Yeah. And the whole thing is that, like, it's a waste, and to propel the industry forward, to propel the aggregate of the capital coming into the industry and the profits that are being made. You know, a single platform and EA making all their money is better, frankly. It's just as better. And whether or not they use that money to make better games, I wish they would. But even if they don't, it's still better for the industry because it won't die, is what I'm saying. Even if they continue to make okay games that aren't great, at least we'll have okay games rather than nothing because they won't be bankrupt and they won't be losing their money. So. Yeah, booty claim. Let's move on to the awesome game announcements. Okami for Wii.
All right, thank goodness I waited.
Indeed.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, because I was going to get it for PS2, and I was like,
I think the interface is definitely going to be better. Like, you know, the whole drawing and stuff like
hopefully,
that.
Hopefully, the problem I see is the waggle combat. They say motion controlled physical attacks. I did not have a problem with it in Zelda, but it is not my preferred method, is my thing. And in the hands of the wrong developers, Ready at Dawn is supposed to be good because they made the Daxter game for PSP, which is supposed to be good, and they made the Ratchet game for PSP, which is also supposed to be good, and they're making God of War for PSP, which is supposed to be good. But, you know, how much experience do they have with Waggle? And personally, like, I'm sorry. As much as I like Waggle, I want to press a button to attack. Unless it's something like swinging a bat at somebody. I mean, this is a wolf you're talking about. It really did feel awkward to be the wolf in Twilight Princess and like...
and you like slash and a
yeah,
fucking
it just
dog
didn't,
jumps
it just didn't make any sense.
I just pressed A all the time.
Oh, that's a good solution, but who knows what they're going to do with this game.
Yeah, but I didn't... Like, I wanted to use the regular strikes in addition to the A strike, so...
Oh, okay.
Like, so... All right. Another cool, awesome announcement. Bionic fucking Mando! PS3, yep. 360, PC. It's coming back, baby.
With hot dogs
trailer,
on his arm.
With, ew, that's right. They do look like hot dogs. And the best thing is that they used the old school music for the trailer that
Sweet.
They played.
Oh, I didn't hear the music.
It's huh?
I didn't hear the music. I think I was at work when I was watching it.
It's the same music.
Yeah. What did they like?
It's orchestrated now.
Oh, okay. I was going to say
but
that.
But it
oh, okay.
sounds really good. And here's my wish list. Make Spencer feel like a badass from minute one, kind of like Ninja Gaiden and Prince of Persia, the Sands of Time trilogy. Mm-hmm. Use a bionic arm to throw stuff into enemies. Use a bionic arm to throw enemies into enemies. Use a bionic arm to smack enemies upside the head. Use a bionic arm to grab enemies, then smack other enemies upside the head with said grabbed enemies. Use your bionic arm to scratch your butt. Okay, maybe not that one.
Hot dogs.
It's hot dogs. Here's a serious one. I kind of want linear action gameplay, like kind of old school, just A to B, swing and just shoot the shit out of people. I kind of don't want like an open world type thing. No Batitude. No
I don't
collecting.
Think the being that the guy. Well, I don't know. Is it Chance? Because the voice actor
there's
is
always
that
a chance.
Lead singer from Epic. Epic Faith No More. That's what that is.
Mike Patton.
Yeah, Mike Patton.
Epic's a song.
And yeah, Epic's an awesome song.
And it's Capcom, the purveyor of shitty voice acting, so you never know if they're going to, like, make it like, I am Spencer! You yeah. bitch!
Sound like from a fucking pirate!
From the
I mean, Gears of War has Batitude, but it fits.
Oh yeah,
you know, like they might do.
But they're like a lot more, you know, human in Gears of War.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't want any collection of any Bathmodads or fruit or any of that shit.
Oh God, please no.
And I know that you know the original Bionic Commando only had two buttons to work with, but please let me jump, and let me jump over the stupid little puddles of shit that come out in the sewage level.
I would hope so.
I want a button to kind of pan the view out, like in the Prince of Persia trilogy. Like, if you press a button, it would offer, like, a wider view, of a static view that wasn't camera-controlled. And then while in that view, you could use the bionic arm with the right analog stick to kind of, like, direct your swing. And here's my last point that I put on my blog. If fake Hitler's head explodes in this one, like in the NES one, anything less than a Game of the Year award is bullshit.
You think they're really, like, they're going to remake this, or is this supposed to be a sequel?
No, I'm just saying, if Hitler's head explodes, then it's Game of the Year, even if it's a shitty game.
They should have, like, a cutscene where, like, Spencer's, like, walking by a TV that has that screen on it. Like, that entire end sequence where Hitler's head explodes. He's just walking by it nonchalantly to just play it. Game of the Year.
The bads. Next awesome game announcement, and I'm actually trembling right now. Street fucking five fucking tur fucking four.
Did you just say tur?
Yes.
Okay.
Not turd.
I thought you said turbo. I'm like, what? They got a turbo already?
Dude, I cannot wait for this. I cannot wait for more details on this. I really want to know what they're going to do with this game.
Fucking page is not loading.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
The trailer, if anyone has not seen it, go watch it.
It looks nice.
Their faces, Ryu's and Ken's face, look really shitty, but the rest of it is gorgeous. It's like Street Fighter meets Okami. It looks really good.
This is all hand drawn?
You know, I don't know. Some of it could be 3D graphics with a filter on it. And it certainly looks like it because the animation, the zooming is very smooth. And of course, this is not indicative of gameplay. It's just a trailer. But as far as trailers go, man, it is awesome looking.
It just looks really good. I've been telling everybody I know. Like, I got fighter people at my job. And I was like, did you know that Street Fighter 4 was announced? Like,
did what? You know?
And then they didn't believe me, and I sent them the link, and they're like, oh my goodness.
Oh my God!
I can't wait. I need some more information. And they're like, some of them are like, I hope it's 3D, and some of them are like, I hope it's 2D. And then
fuck,
I'm like,
3D.
I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what I'm going to think. I'm just going to let them make it, and then, yeah.
What do you think would be better?
Did you know that 20 days ago, Street Fighter is out? What? No.
What do you think would be better as far as animation? Cell shading or you know, just like regular pixel 3D?
Dude, you know what? That is a good idea. What if they did that? That would be cool. That actually, Gideon actually poses this in his question, so we'll save discussion for that for the mailbag.
Okay.
But that's a fucking good idea. And now numbers for business people.
Yay!
360 pwned everybody's balls, which is I'm happy to see that they're you know getting some sales. Reggie said Halo 3 is not a system seller.
Time
September
to eat
hardware
that crow.
Sales.
What's
September
the percentage,
hardware sales.
People?
Xbox 360 on top with 527,800 units. That's over 500,000, baby. I think that might be the highest that they've ever sold, not counting holiday season.
You want to know the percentage? 188% of sales this quarter.
Increased over last quarter?
Yeah.
Last
was
last
it last month or last quarter?
Last month, I believe.
Jesus, that's huge.
Yeah, incredible.
We are still doing well though. 500,000, 501,000. Sorry, DS is still doing well. 495,800 units. Jeez, these guys are pummeling Sony. I hate to say. PSP actually is healthy though. 284,500 units. That's a pretty good that's actually a pretty good
number. That's because of the Slim, right?
Yeah, but I think they were still around the 250 mark, between 200 and 250 mark for throughout the past couple of months.
True.
Maybe dipping a little. It's doing well, and I'm glad for it. PS2 is still over 200,000, and the PS3 at 119,000.
People still buying those things.
Hopefully this price drop will help. Analysts were saying that in October, and I don't disagree with them, that because they announced the price drop, and November 2nd is when it's going to take effect, that October sales of PS3 is going to be kind of eh.
True.
Like, this week, they're probably not going to sell it that much at all. But and Game Boy Advance at $75. I'm surprised that thing is still even on the fucking list.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
And as for the software, Halo. Oh, my God. Halo 3 sold 3.3 million copies in September.
Wow. That's like, you know...
Wait, actually, this stop before you talk. When did it launch?
September 24th or 25th.
25th. That is 6 days. 3.3 million games in six days.
No. Mm-hmm. 30 days half September. 5 days.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That is fucking amazing.
5 days. Halo 3 sold 3 million copies?
Did you know that in 5 days? Sorry.
Wow.
And if this is not spin or anything like that, if this is truly just the NPD numbers, one, this is only in the United States. Mm-hmm. Two, this does not count Walmart.
Oh, shit.
3.3 million before Walmart. That is amazing.
That's insanity. That's,
I don't give a shit about Halo, but hats fucking off to Bungie. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's building up the
Earn
crowd.
Earn that freedom. Earn that freedom.
Believe.
believe in what? Fucking stupid McDonald's bag.
Believe in the mighty dollar.
I have a McDonald's bag, a Burger King bag that I'll auction off on eBay that has the whole Halo 3 thing on it.
From Jersey.
Now, Al, if you would do me the pleasure of reading the second one on this list, which is so competitively close to the 3.3 million that Halo 3 sold. What is it?
We play with remote, 282,000.
And how much did it sell?
282,000. I'll say it again, 282,000.
And how much did Halo 3 sell?
3.3 million copies in five days.
Wait, dude, what do they mean this combines all three versions?
Oh.
They had the regular version, they had the legend, the limited edition. With the, like, behind-the-scenes shit, and then they had the cat helmet version.
Right, okay.
The useless piece of shit that everybody thinks is so cool.
I thought they were talking cross-platform.
No. It's only on 360.
Okay. It's on computer, too.
Nope.
No. It probably won't come out on computer for another 2 years.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I mean, Halo has never been on PC at launch.
Because it would take money away from 360. Yeah. Cannibalize.
They always put Halo on PC a couple of years after. That's the way that it's been.
Yeah. Because people, they played... Dude.
Well, I'm confused, like, because the guy brought up a PC version.
Who?
Maybe it was Halo 1 that he bought. Halo 1. Yeah, right. It was Halo 1.
Yeah, it was Halo 1.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the amount of time that people play Halo 3 online is just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could look, like, at any given moment, certain people on my friends list, anytime I
Halo
see them
3,
online,
Halo 3,
it's
Halo 3,
Halo 3. Halo 3. I'll see, like, six of my, like, I think I have 14 friends right now, six of them, if they're online, that's what they're doing. I got an invite to play Halo 3, and I don't even have it.
They just spam invites to all their friends lists.
It was my friend from work, and I had to send him a voice message because I was in the middle of Gears of War. I'm like, dude, I don't have Halo 3 yet. And then he goes, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot.
Phantom Hourglass actually did pretty healthy, 224. Mm-hmm. That came out the first week of October. Wait.
Hmm.
That didn't come out till October.
Oh, wait. But they, what did they do? Oh, no. Oh, yeah. I couldn't have sold 224,000 copies on the 30th because Nintendo sold it a day early.
Oh, okay.
At their store.
Oh, maybe it did.
Maybe it did. It could have sold 224,000 in a day.
Yeah. And then the next is just some spin. I don't care about that. Stupid spin. Jack Trenton. Hey, what's up, buddy? It's time for his spin on not the NPDs. That's why I wanted the other. But price drop. He explains it. And this is from Michael McWhirtor on Kotaku. Let's see if he uses the apostrophes correctly this time. The feature gimped PS3 with 40GB hard drive is coming at a reduced price in North America, but without the ability to play PS2 games. If you thought Sony was removing the PS2 guts out of the system, saving them gobs of cash, and passing the savings on to you, late adopters, maybe you should think again. According to the Wall Street Journal's paraphrasing of SEA boss Jack Tretton, the removal of the PS2 backwards compatibility and other components isn't dramatically reducing Sony's cost of manufacturing. Instead, the handicapping of the PS3 was part of an effort to encourage buyers of the entry-level PS3 to purchase more games designed specifically for the new system. In other words, we're not removing backwards compatibility to cut costs. We're removing it to force people to buy PS3 games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like,
wow.
What?
Okay.
Wow. Thanks for the choice. History games
I guess I'll take a. I guess I'll take a heavenly sword and then return it after 5 hours.
Yeah.
And then 1UP.com talks to Peter Dill, Sony's VP of marketing, who says, "Let's see." Over at InGuy and 1UP, this is from Patrick Klepek. Over at InGuy Kroll's Newsweek blog, Jack Tretton used the word relevancy 10 times when talking about the PS3. Okay, here we go. You talk about not eliminating core functionality, but obviously with this new SKU, it removes backwards compatibility, at least with the PS2. The wording that Jack used in the Reuters story said that the decision came from wanting to push PS3 software, and the actual cost to keep this feature in wasn't necessarily a large part of the decision to remove it. Dill says, maybe we should set you up with Jack. All our research shows that backwards compatibility is a nice to have, it's not a need to have from a consumer perspective. Consumers that have PS2 libraries have PS2s. But yeah. The folks that are going to upgrade to the PS3, the more important factor is getting down to that price point that again opens it up to a new audience.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you're asking me to conjecture about what Jack's talking about, but the ability to play high-def games on your new HDTV is why you bought the PS3, not necessarily to play a game from 5 or 6 years ago. Again, our position on backwards compatibility still stands in stark contrast to our competition. We have an expressed commitment to the PS2 consumer that hasn't changed.
No,
unlike our competition,
don't.
Where one day we woke up and said, we're never going to make another Xbox game, we're never going to ship any more Xbox parts to retail, and if you bought an Xbox, you're out of luck. That's actually true, but that's actually because Microsoft was stupid and didn't own the contracts of those parts. It's not because they wanted to dick over the consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. What we've done historically, both on the PS1 and PS2, is stand behind the consumer, and in the eighth year of the PS2, 7th, buddy, we're still manufacturing hardware. We're still dedicating a huge amount of retail shelf space. We're still evangelizing the platform to third parties, Rock Band for PS2. And this year, there's 162 PS2 games coming out. That's amazing, actually. If you bought a PS2 last year or 6 years ago, you still have a great platform that you continue to enjoy for the next 5 years. But blah, 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 blah. Here's the meat of it. At the end of the day, it was more important to get the PS3 down to a mass market price point of $399 than to hold on to every shred of backwards compatibility. We can infer from that that, yes, backwards compatibility did contribute to the cost cutting. But, to be fair, he says, while I can't comment on the price of each component, you're talking about finding various ways to get the unit cost reduced. Whether it's BC, which contributes a piece, 4 USB slots, which contribute a piece, memory card slots, which contribute a piece, there's obviously some efficiencies that the guys are able to achieve outside the plastic that consumers don't see. All that adds up to $399. Yes, but USB slots, negligible. Memory card slots, kind of negligible, though those are probably more pricey because proprietary memory card, like the PlayStation... No, I'm sorry, the Memory Stick Duo, I think is the Sony brand, and... what else did the PS3 have? In terms of memory, do they have like compact flash and SD?
You got me.
The what I heard from the 1UP.com podcast is that the 80GB PS3 removed the Emotion Engine, which cost like a lot of money to put in there. I think maybe $50 or $60 per just for the chip. And they also had the graphics synthesizer, graphics engine on there too. Now, the 80GB removed the Emotion Engine, but it kept the graphics synthesizer, which is why they could still do software compatibility. And now the PS3 removes that piece too. And that's not like a bit part. That is a hefty chunk of machine. That graphic synthesizer is a significant part of it. I mean, people saying that like, oh, it didn't cost that much. It cost a pretty penny. Not $200, but, you know, it adds up to $100.
Mm-hmm.
And Al says wrap them in foil.
Yeah, that was misdirected.
Oh. wrong chat window. Let's see. Wait, hold a second. You said this to your girlfriend, but you typed it instead of saying it out loud?
Yes, because I'm trying to get my lunch arranged so that I don't be late. And I actually had a really long, long thing that I was like, oh my God, what's
going to
happen?
To chat to her in Gmail chat.
No. She's standing right here next to me.
Oh. Oh, and she's reading the screen.
Yeah, and then she would type, and then I would type, and I had this really long thing, right? And I was like, it would be so funny if I hit enter right now, but I erased it. Bong, bongy, dong, bong.
And I just typed, hello, I'm a land, bong, 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 bong.
I'm a with a
hand. I'm a land.
It should have been this. Wait. Yeah.
I'm going to save this chat so you guys can see what we're talking about.
Evelyn! All right.
So, yeah, I mean, it is kind of a hefty chunk of the stuff. By all means, though, wouldn't you think that PS3 was powerful enough to run all this stuff on software? I mean, 360 does it.
Yeah, but I think it would.
Another chunk of savings comes from the effort to make games backwards compatible.
Mm-hmm.
You take all that and you Avalon! You take out all of that and, you know, that's some effort on the part. McDove commented on my blog. He's coming from a different perspective here, though. He is he lives in Australia, so that brings a different tint to what he's saying. And I run the risk of delaying my voice here because I'm clicking the link. Crack, 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 crack. Come on, GameSpot, you're slow. Okay. Says, removing software backwards compatibility, $5 maybe. Removing a multi-card reader, $15 maybe. Just to clear it up, McDove, that $5 is actually more like $50. Removing two USB drives, $5 maybe. Removing $25 to help drop the price of a PS3 to $200, nonsense. It just doesn't add up. The manufacturing cost of the Blu-ray and Cell may have dropped in price over the last year. They probably did. But Sony can't say that removing what they did is the reason to drop the price $200. They would now have to be losing a lot more money per console sold with this new SKU than with the other ones. And Tony jumps in with, fuck Sony!
Hell yeah.
Prices are quoted in Australian dollars value. First of all, PAL territories never got the 80-gigabyte one. Second, when the 60-gigabyte came out in PAL territories, both the emotion engine and the graphic synthesizer was removed from the 60-gig and was roughly saving Sony $30 Australian production. Yet, when you converted the cost of that SKU, this is coming from a forum, though. How reliable is this? McDove, I'm not bouncing your credibility. I'm just saying, like, the forum that you got this from might not be so reliable. But maybe they are, maybe they aren't. In Australia, it should have cost us around $800, yet it originally slapped a $9.99. Jesus Christ, price tag. I think the Australian dollar is worth 80 American cents. So $9.99 is pretty fucking expensive. That's like that's $800. They were slapping a $1,000 price tag in it, and retailers weren't making a cent because I work in one. And they were releasing a starter pack which included two games, Resistance and Motorstorm, and a bonus controller for the same price. Yet the cost of the machine never came down, and retailers were losing $200 a sale. Wait, so you got to clear this up with McDove. Do you guys, because it shouldn't work this way, but maybe it's different in Australia, are they selling you the units at a reduced cost, or are they not? Like, if they're selling you the 40-gigabyte unit at a lesser price than, you know, whatever, then and you guys are forced to sell it at a lower price, but you're still paying the same price, then you guys are getting boned. But the way it's supposed to work is that here, like, we get a 40-gigabyte unit for less than what it costs an 80-gigabyte unit in the store, and then the stores sell them for less. And they still make the kind of a similar markup price on it, so that they're not dicked over. But maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm misunderstanding how it works there. Or maybe I'm misunderstanding your post entirely. And then he posted at last. I'm not sure if I made a point in all that. If so, sorry for the waste of time. No, I mean, you make a valid point. Like, if they're dicking their retailers over by, like, selling them boned units at the same cost, then that's kind of stupid. But anyway, that's long enough for the fucking news. I'm tired. Let's move on to what are we moving on to?
I don't know.
You guys have
Bag of Deuce.
Oh, it's Bag of Deuce time.
If you guys were diligent enough to come up with one, Bag of Deuce.
Baggity baggity deuce.
Bag of shit. Tony, what? No, I'll go first. Give you guys time to think because you're slackers. I mentioned Street Fighter 2 for DOS before, and I'd like to bring it back again, Street Fighter 2 for Game Boy. It was so slow that you could do a fireball by pressing down and then pressing forward and then the B button. Like, you didn't have to roll your thumb. You could just press down, forward, B, and it would come out. That's how slow the inputs were. And I think the frames of animation were about on par with the DOS version. Thankfully, you didn't press up and punch too fierce. What that meant was that you didn't have a fierce punch. Nice. Actually, no, I lied. You can do a Fierce Punch by holding down on the B button, like in World Heroes, except it's much slower.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, this is the easiest time I've ever had doing a spinning pile driver. just back, down, forward, up B, and it did. It was...
I think that's the hardest move to do in the game.
There was no sense of combos. Like, it was so slow that the 2-in-1s just didn't... It was awful. It was god-awful. and it's surprising, too, because the same developers did Street Fighter Alpha for the Game Boy Color, and that game was actually good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that game had combos, the animation was decent, the speed was good.
Well, was this for the dot matrix system, or
This was the old Game Boy, and I know that the Game Boy Color had enhanced processors somewhat,
yeah.
so...
Yeah,
but still, man, that was fucking awful.
24 shades of black!
More like four shades of spinach. Tony, what did you give it?
Oh, man, mine is a no-brainer. Every single Dragon's Lair game that was not
DVD. That's not a game. Lair. It's a fucking enemy movie.
Single one. Every fucking one, whether it was on the NES, whether it was on the SNES, whether
Space
it was
Ace?
On fucking Neo Geo. If it wasn't on CD, it fucking blew. Okay?
They turned it into like a side-scroller, right?
They turned it into a fucking mess. They tried
Toe
to...
Toe Jam and Earl.
Oh, God. Oh, that one brings back some vicious memories, too. But, you know, essentially what they did was try to take everything that you loved in the cartoon Laserdisc version of this very, very innovative arcade game and put it into a 2D fashion that was acceptable for the NES and the SNES. And what they succeeded in doing was making a fucking mockery of the whole fucking thing. It was probably the worst time I've ever had trying to pull off what is probably the most basic move, jump.
What are you looking at?
You know, I actually, there's a part where you're supposed to jump over a bridge and some stupid sea monster is popping his head out from the bridge, so you got to jump over him. Well, guess what?
What are you looking at?
And guess what? You jump right into his face. Game over. You know?
Game over, as Al would say.
Game over.
Game over. Yeah, over, wow. Come. And let's just put it this way. I have not gotten further in this game than the front gate. That's how bad this was. That's how fucking horrible this game was. So, kudos to Dragon's Lair on every other system except the CD system.
You are now a shit of bag.
Exactly. Incidentally, the Dragon's Lair for Sega CD was actually better because it was the Laserdisc version of the game. But the controls on that suck too.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Monsters. How do you make it?
You know, I just had it and I just forgot it. Oh my god.
Probably because you were thinking about Dragon's Lair.
Yeah, because he started talking about Dragon's Lair and I was like, oh my god, that game sucks. Oh! And then, alright, wait. I have one and then I was like, no, I'm going to save that. Then there was the other one. Damn, what was it? Shoot. God.
Genre? That is not the dating game song, Tony.
I'm just going to go with the other one. Solstice.
I never played
that. That was the Sega CD one?
That was the Nintendo game with the old man, and he's like trapped in a tower. And every
is it similar to The Immortal? Like, was it the prequel to The Immortal?
No. Solstice is the prequel to Equinox, which was actually a rather good game.
Oh, which is, but that it looks similar to The Immortal.
Kind of, yeah. Except I never played The Immortal, and I always wanted to because it had the picture of the dragon fight at the end. But I always thought
awesome,
that it wasn't
right?
worth it. I always thought that was a bag of shit game.
I thought you said Soldis, or we're talking about Soldis.
Oh my god, Soldis!
Soldis!
Let's not talk about Soldis.
Soldis—that's a rapper name. Talk about Solstice.
MC Soldis should be Soldus.
Yeah, see Solstice. I why do games have to be so goddamn hard? I mean, they just you start you in the game and it's just like boom, you're just standing and there's fucking platforms moving around and shit, and it's isometric. You can't rotate the camera because there is no camera. It's just a fucking still screen, and you jump and then you hit a hole because you can't really see the perspective, and you go, ew! And then you die. And I do believe that this is one of those games where if you die, you have to start. Come on, finish it.
You got to start all over again.
Yes.
That sounds just like Fester's Quest.
No, wait. You know, wait. Austin, did you play Equinox?
Not yet.
Equinox, when you get hit, you do that.
You do this?
Yeah. No. You just go. And you, like, disintegrate. And it's so messed up because Equinox, you, like. And I think they took it from Solstice because when you die, you do that. But, you
apparently,
like,
my cat has played Solstice. Because that was my cat.
Yeah. You like walk around and like your freaking the tip of your shoe will hit a spike and you die. That's how messed up it is. And you have like 3 lives. You have to finish the entire game with 3 lives. And if you don't finish the game with 3 lives, you gotta what?
Start all over again.
Again.
Boy, that's like
from where?
Instant gangrene.
Yeah.
Stepped on a spike.
And I think you have to go like 100 levels or something like that.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's insane. It's fucking insane. And all it is a puzzle game, and the puzzles are really fucking hard. There'd be like a room where you have to like move shit around, and you have like this magic. I don't think the magic is limited, but I have this like weird feeling that it was. Mm-hmm. And just to solve the puzzles is just, it was too mind-bending. Wow. And to believe that was out for Nintendo, where all the kids are like 6, 7, 8 years old, and expect the kids to fucking play that game, I don't think so. Game's a piece of shit.
Wow, that sounds like a bag of shit.
I really wish I remembered the other one that I was thinking of. The other one was really good. But I guess this one will do.
Right.
I'm actually curious about the other one.
If I remember it, I'll just blurt it out.
Blah!
Put it in a chat window.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That you could save
if
for
I can
next
remember
week.
It. Yeah,
let's
true,
move
true.
On! We are at the mailbag. We're foregoing a topic because Ethan is sniffling into his ass, and he's sick, being a pussy. So we're just going to go to the mailbag. Again, we're delaying the topic. Here's a first recommendation from Doveman. I don't know if you guys are taking any more recommendations, but I thought I'd mail you some for the both
oh, sure.
360 and Xbox. For the Xbox, Dreamfall. It's a short adventure game. It's also available on Steam, actually, so if you guys want to play it on PC, play it there. And I also enjoyed most of the Outlaw sports games. While the humor wore off kind of quickly, I actually had some solid sports mechanics. So there's, like, Outlaw Tennis, I believe, too. And then for the 360, Dead Rising.
I downloaded the demo for that. I wanted to try it.
Yeah, the Slunks, I believe, has a review on it, as does Sagacious Jeff Pierce. I'm not sure if he has a Dead Rising one, though. If you're into racing games, Test Drive Unlimited. It's kind of different. It's an MMO type racer because like you can race against AI, but mm-hmm. then like if one of your friends is kind of like doing another activity, but it happens to be on your tail, like you'll see him pass by you like while you're just like at side of the road. So it's like everyone's
cool.
Connected.
Okay.
And Carcassonne on XBLA. I think that's a board game type thing.
Yeah.
So, and he leaves his gamer tag. You can add him if you want. I added him. He hasn't added back, so he probably hasn't been online. Mm-hmm. Message from Gideon, which he calls a 3-pronged attack. He's too angry to write complete sentences. The first one is a couple of complete sentences there, buddy. Let's see. My PSP UMD drive stopped working randomly yesterday in the middle of a game in my first ever Sony system. It is also my first system to ever break down. Coincidence? I think not. Those were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 full sentences. Complete sentences, Gideon. You are not angry enough.
He should have been like, my PSP drive.
Broke. PSP. No. Broke. Middle
PSP
of game.
PSP broke.
For a Sony system.
Even though PSP
not coincidence.
Broke is still a complete sentence.
Avalyn! Should I spend $90 to replace the UMD drive or just buy a new Slim? Or should I say, fuck Sony and just put out some firmware, put on some firmware and play games off the memory stick?
Firmware!
I
don't support that, actually.
You could do that and then buy a Slim anyways.
True.
I think I emailed him personally. I said that I would pay the $90 to fix it and put the rest of the money towards a DS because his taste in games does include DS games, which I'm surprised that he doesn't even bother to buy one. Mm-hmm. But he, you know, I was suggesting that to him. But then I thought about it and I was like, you know what? $90 would probably, he told me actually this himself, $90 would probably net him a refurb.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really trust that, you know. I don't trust the refurbished unit with, like, moving parts and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. Also my opinion is just buy a Slim and keep that thing and you know, right, play games with the very
Slim. Well, let's put it this way.
Or homebrew stuff. Or eBay it off for broken parts because people are into that shit. They take it apart and they fix it themselves, so.
Austin, am I correct in saying that the refurbs are not, their warranty is void anyway?
They're probably guaranteed for a certain amount of time, but not,
yeah,
the original
probably,
warranty.
I don't know fully about that, but yeah, like Al said, they probably have some amount of limited time, but it's not a full manufacturer's warranty.
Fuck that.
Oh, yes, and then the awesome meter ranking. Street Fighter 4 versus StarCraft 2. For me, I obviously, because I, you know, I'm not an RTS first guy, I'll put my vote in for Street Fighter 4. I think I probably know where you guys lie, though.
That's rough.
That is rough.
I know a lot about StarCraft 2. I don't know anything about Street Fighter 4. And those are both positives. They're right now.
Thanks for settling that one.
I guess what are you more psyched for then? Just if someone says Street Fighter 4 or StarCraft 2. Which
StarCraft
one will you
2.
Jump higher for?
I think I'll jump higher for StarCraft 2 right now. Because I've gone through that whole psyched phase with Street Fighter 4. I'm like, "What? Really?" It was kind of like, you know, I didn't know, but now I know. But StarCraft was like, oh my god, I didn't know!
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tony?
Me, personally, I think StarCraft 2 and Command & Conquer 3 are too similar right now. So I probably would wait
really?
For it. Yeah, really? Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, by the way, the Skrin is Protoss.
Really?
No doubt about it. Skrin is Protoss. They fucking ripped off StarCraft, like, to no end.
They just added, like, a third alien race that you can
play. Exactly. Well, that's the Skrin.
But,
yeah, the Skrin
but you don't play them,
Protoss.
Do you?
Yeah, you do.
Huh?
You can play as them?
Yeah, absolutely.
So. Yeah.
Oh,
So, get this.
I thought you meant mechanically they were the same.
No, I'm talking about they're too much of the same game.
Like, in terms of, like, background and content-wise?
In terms of characters and, you know, how they move and how they interact and, you know, the orders you could give them and stuff like that. Let's just put it this way. Al would know a lot more about this. Al,
well, that's
the carriers...
I'm asking Al, like, why are they similar? Are they that
similar? Yeah. Let me finish, god damn it. So, Al...
Well, you said ask Al.
I'm asking Al.
You ask your face.
Damn it. Al, yes. you remember the carriers, right?
The carriers from StarCraft, the Protoss
StarCraft,
with all little
yeah.
Things, yeah.
Yeah, Protoss. You know, you could buy units for them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they all fly around. The unit itself doesn't attack. It's the little
little ships that it shoots. Yeah.
Little drones. Well, guess what? They have a carrier, a Skrin carrier, which is also shielded. You have an option of getting them shielded, okay? Mm-hmm. And what do? They send little drones out to kill enemies.
Oh, man.
Too
that's,
similar.
That's the Urk rip.
Yeah, too similar. They have other units. I can't remember which specifically at this time, but other units do the same freaking thing. Like, for instance, the Protoss defense units, they attack both air and land enemies, okay? So you only have to build one structure as opposed to two for the Terran and two for Zerg.
Zerg,
okay?
Right. But they're more
exactly.
expensive.
Same thing here. Skrin is the only one that has an actual air-to-ground defensive unit. So I was like, wow, this is just like StarCraft. So guess what? The Skrin also have a mothership. So now I'm looking at StarCraft 2, and they have a mothership for the Protoss.
Yeah, they do.
Like, what the fuck is going on here? So,
Mother!
So what I'm going to do, I think I'm just going to wait for Street Fighter 2. 4, sorry. And his question was, 3D or 2D?
Yeah, 2D.
I think 2D.
I'm gonna go with 2D, but
to clarify, I believe. Okay, let's separate this. What do you think, and what do you want it to be?
I don't know. I want it to be whatever it comes out to be.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think it would be is like I think it would be 2D, but I think that that's gonna hurt it. in the eyes of the public. I think it'll be an excellent game, and it might wind up being like, you know, a niche game if it comes out as 2D. But then at the same time, if it comes out as 3D, it's going to be other niche. I think it has a very, very tough obstacle ahead of it in terms of its POV and game mechanics. Because you don't want it. I honestly don't think it should be 3D because you have Virtual Fighter 5 and you have Soul Calibur 3 or 4 coming. And you have Tekken, what, 10,000?
You also have the worst attempt at the Street Fighter 3D game, which was Street Fighter Beta EX? Plus Alpha or some shit that was on the PlayStation.
Did you say FedEx Plus?
No, what was it called? Street Fighter DX Plus Alpha or some shit like that?
Yeah, but that was actually, that wasn't a 3D game. That just had 3D graphics, right?
Yeah.
It was, but no, it kind of interacted like, whatchamacallit? I can't think of anything today. Whatchamacallit? Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Kind of like in that realm where it's 3D. Yeah, like Soul Calibur and, you know, like.
Okay, you know. But you could do sidesteps and shit?
There was a Mortal Kombat Annihilation?
Annihilation? I think he means Deadly Alliance.
Oh, okay.
I suck
for
today.
GameCube and stuff?
Who the fuck raised me? I'm supposed to be able to play games. What the hell? And we pull them out of the top of a hat.
Oh, man.
Jesus Christ.
You were raised by chickens in a chicken coop.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'll get it together. I know there was some sidestepping, but I mean, that existed in some other 2D fighters as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like King of Fighters.
Yeah.
They have sidestepping. I want it to be 2D, and I think it will be in 2D. And I don't know. I think Capcom should try its hand at a 3D game, but don't do it to Street Fighter.
Unless they package them both. Games.
Plenty of them.
Fighting, like, good 3D fighting games?
I didn't say good.
GoBots thing?
I didn't say good. I said they had.
They had that GoBots thing, and what else?
They had...
Plasma Sword was Capcom, or no?
Power Stone, quote-unquote.
What?
But that's an arena game. What did you say?
That one? You cracked up. What was that, quote-unquote?
Oh, arena game? The Power Stone?
Oh, Power Stone. Yeah, that was more.
Yeah, but that's not really a 3D, like, you know, tactical fighter like Street Fighter. Star Gladiator wasn't really that Technomancer. That was kind of.
Oh wait, there was also Rival Schools, which was.
Rival School, yes, but Rival Schools. That's a perfect example of a good 3D fighting game.
All
I liked that game. I did not like their attempt at Street Fighter. I thought it was horrible.
What do you mean, their attempt at Street Fighter?
To make Street Fighter like Rival Schools, you know, the 3D realm. Did you ever play it on PlayStation 1? It's awful.
Which, I thought EX Alpha?
Yeah.
I absolutely hated it. I didn't even give it a chance.
We're gonna get a flaming email from Gideon and Ron and Chris because they swear by that game. I'm sorry, don't like it.
I don't like it.
Don't like it.
I thought it was complete garbage.
The mechanics, okay. I actually like the concepts, like some of the concepts in it, like stringing together special moves.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the feel of the gameplay is so clunky because the engine doesn't really respond that well to the button presses. And maybe you're fine with that. I'm not.
Right.
So 2D and 2D for me. Or if they must do the graphics in 3D, Tony brought up cel shading, and that's a good point. Or at least make it so that it's responsive and it feels like Street Fighter instead of like some kind of slow, laggy, weird, stiff kind of shit that I... Ugh. So anyway, yes. 2D and 2D. Last question. From Marshy Man. And that, actually, there's a whole heaping of... what's it called? Xbox games. There we go. So... Josh here with two questions. I picked up Rise of Nations at my local EB Games, and upon completing some training stuff on it, I realized that I suck ass at real-time strategy games. Do you have any tips that can help me not be so dumb at these types of games? Stop playing them.
No.
Just kidding. No, but...
I did think that, though.
Learn your hotkeys really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, learn the keys. I don't really know how Rise of Nations works. Does it work like every other RTS where... You just build up resources and you develop your army and shit? Or does it have...
The general flow is that way, yeah.
Okay. I'll give you one quick hint as to how to just try and be unstoppable. You can go to two ways. You can either focus on materials and build a defense and have one big base that people cannot penetrate.
Mm-hmm.
Or... You can be a little avant-garde, and you can develop as much resources as you can to just have a standing patrol or a standing guard at your main base, and then immediately move on to the next area when you know you have enough money to build another, like, command center or civic center or whatever the hell it's called, and spread your influence around so that mm-hmm. you can have different departments. You have a department that focuses on, like, air to ground, you have a department that focuses on ground to ground, and then you have all those troops, like, meet in a centralized location, and then you send them on to the enemy and just destroy. Over. Game over. Bye-bye.
And
you should
third
see me. I'm standing here waving my arms in the air because I'm victorious.
Third option, collect all your resources, build up cheap troops, send them immediately.
That's another good idea.
Do you say cheat troops?
Cheap.
No, cheap. Oh. Cheap.
Like inexpensive.
Yeah, it's not going to work that way. Rise of Nations is different. It's different enough that it won't work that way. And the thing with the resources is that they are ever replenishing. They're infinite.
Oh, okay.
Ah.
It's not resource gathering. It's resource maintaining.
Oh,
so
okay.
Basically, when you build up your resources, you're basically just increasing the rate at which your resources come in.
Mm-hmm.
So the flow is slightly different.
Is there any way that you can improve the rate at which you do get your resources?
Yeah, that's what you do. That's what you do. Every age you go through, you increase like the rate you get, and then like every time you build a lumber mill, it's plus 50 lumber every minute or so, and it just keeps on going up like that. So yeah, I mean, it's a similar flow, but it's also slightly different.
So what I would recommend in that case would be direct your technologies to advance to the next age as quickly as possible.
Yep.
Without forgetting that you need to provide
some money to build
structures and save money for emergencies and things like that.
With
just like Empire Earth.
It sounds like he's saying, though, that he just completed training, so he's not even onto that semi-advanced stuff. I think probably your biggest thing is multitasking and keeping your brain, like, attuned to several things at once.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Start out slow. Start out doing little small skirmishes, focusing on one kind of city, town center at a time, expanding very slowly. Mm-hmm. And then... you know, start gradually getting to the bigger battle. Like, start off with, like, one skirmish on easy or something. And again, learn your hotkeys very well, because that'll help you from fumbling around with the menu options and all that shit with the mouse.
Got a question. Mm-hmm. Is there a campaign mode in this game?
No, there is no campaign story mode. There is something called Conquer the World. That is essentially the campaign
mode.
So
it's like Civilization. Where Civilization doesn't have... Well, no, I don't mean in terms of gameplay. I'm talking about in terms of modes. Civilization doesn't have a campaign. All it is
it's like
you do skirmish or you do a general, like, recreate the Earth type of thing.
Yeah, like SimCity, right?
Oh, so there's not, like, a way he can... You kind of like SimCity, yeah. It's not a game that he can learn through progression of story, like how Command & Conquer, all you have to do is build troops. And then you win the thing.
Yeah,
and then the next one is
you take
these troops and you destroy this base. And then next thing is, like, next thing you know, you're building like 5,000 bases and you're fighting against like the biggest structure ever that can shoot nuclear missiles.
Training is going to have to take care of that for him.
But
sounds like
the Conquer the World mode is basically like you have a world map, very quickly because I think I mentioned this before, but you have a world map. It's kind of like Risk, and you have a certain amount of territories. You have a chess piece, what I call the chess piece in each one.
Mm-hmm.
As you move your chess pieces to other territories, sometimes they belong to other people, and when you move it on them, you do a skirmish.
Right.
Sometimes you'll get special conditions where you've allied yourself with other countries. And if their piece is next to yours and you're attacking someone that's next to both of your pieces, they will send in reinforcements, things like that.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely have to play this game. I have no advice other than to listen to Austin.
Yeah.
I would definitely
have to try this too, and I'm going to try and pick this up for $5 if I can get my ass over to GameStop.
Shit, pick it up for 10 or 20.
Yeah.
Me personally, even
10 or 20. Yeah.
Yeah. Me personally, in any RTS game I play, I'm a turtle, which means I'm definitely building up defenses so that I will be impenetrable, and then I will fuck you up.
That's not going to work in this game.
No, I kind of figured that it wouldn't.
Only because of
the
way that territory expands.
Right.
Like, if you keep turtling, then they'll expand their territory, and when you put your troops into their territory, they actually lose health for every second that they're in there.
Wow.
To kind of discourage that.
Mm-hmm.
So... and he asks, what do you think about Double Fine's Brutal Legend? I know it has Jack Black in it. I don't care about Jack Black, so I have no idea.
Is that a movie?
Huh?
Is that a movie?
No, game. Double
That's
Fine's
a game?
Developer.
Oh, never heard of it.
Psychonauts?
No, I'm talking about the game, Brutal Legend.
Oh, okay. I thought the developer. And before you go, here's some recommendations. Knights of the Republic, we already went through that. Mm-hmm. Tony, that's actually a good one for you. You weren't around last week, but that was suggested by... was it Edu who suggested it, or was it someone else?
It was... shoot, I don't remember.
Sorry, yes. Guy. Panzer Dragoon Order, absolutely. Dreamfall, okay. McDuff already mentioned that. Fable, both of you already have that. Well...
I don't have the Lost
Tony
Chapters.
Tony already
has. I have Lost Chapters.
And Al already has Lost Chapters. See, you haven't been listening, buddy! No.
I guess not.
Fatal Frame 1 and 2. Yeah, Guilty Gear X2. I actually want Fatal Frame. Mm-hmm. It's coming out on Wii, too. Guilty Gear X2 #Reload.
I got Guilty Gear X2 on PS2.
Yeah. Jade Empire, Indigo Prophecy, Jet Set Radio Future, Munch's Odyssey, Phantom Dust, which I own. I haven't played yet, though. Stubbs the Zombie. Thief, better on PC. And Unreal Championship 2, better on PC.
But now...
known as Unreal Tournament 2004.
One thing I want to know is... No. Panzer Dragoon Order. Is that one of those, like, games that you can't find and you go on eBay and it's like $150?
Let's find out. It's definitely not Panzer Dragoon Saga, you know?
Oh, of course not. Yeah, it's not like it was only 100,000 copies made.
Panzer Dragoon Order, used on GameStop, $9.
Oh my now, fucking god!
What yeah. a freaking disgrace! This game should be this game should cost $50 used.
Yeah,
legendary,
should.
Huh? Legendary.
But yeah, $60 new. Yeah, it's $9, so you can still get it.
All right, I'm gonna see if I can run and pick that up used.
Yeah, Fatal Frame. Not like too much the into them because when I played it on PS2, it.
I don't like scary games.
Pussy.
Like, I was tempted to download the demo for Clive Barker's Jericho, and I'm like, nah.
Pussy. Okay.
Fuck you too, man.
I think you have to work... wouldn't be able to handle Bioshock. You should try Bioshock. See if you can handle it.
Oh, man, Bioshock. I'll tell you my little story about Bioshock before I go.
Biocock.
I ran the demo, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, look, I can see things that I couldn't see on my PC.
Right.
And then I go, and I get out of the water, and I go into the main building, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going down the elevator, and mm-hmm. it was the longest elevator ride of my life. I fell asleep like 3 times. I was like, okay, I need to go to bed. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning, granted.
Oh,
and I'm
okay.
like, okay. Yeah, I wasn't sleeping because it was boring. I was sleeping because I was really fucking sleepy. And I think I was just playing Halo and like playing Gears of War. And I'm like, okay, let me try this Bioshock shit. And the elevator ride, I swear, took 6 hours. And I couldn't get to any game because I was like, I gotta turn this off. And I haven't been able to play. I've been playing virtual. Oh, Tony.
Yeah.
Virtual Fighter 5 demos on Xbox Live. Download that shit.
It's
fucking good.
It's virtual Fighter. Like, it's always good.
Oh, it looks like
fuck Tekken.
Freaking. If you splash water on somebody, you know how it looks when it glistens in the sun?
Uh-huh.
That's how fucking El Blaze looks. And cool. Akira. Is in oh go get it after now.
You
Bye.
Sound very homoerotically attracted to this.
Oh, well, I don't want to be talking about like Sarah's titties and shit, how they like bounce when you do the kicks. But it was funny because I was playing the demo with Sarah and I was just doing the only move I know besides the basic.
I'm hoping that they're like kind of reduced bounce.
Oh, it's not huge bounce. Like she
it's
has
not
like,
Itagaki bounce.
Yeah, she has like regular person titties. So
not zero. Not zero G bounce either.
Right.
Boy!
That is so dumb. It's like,
fly out of dumb. Chest. There goes my breast. Wait, come back.
But I was doing the kicks.
There's her breast orbiting the earth. What do you want to do with it? Shoot it down.
But check it out.
Milk rain.
I was doing the kick move where basically like you start out with like down forward kick and you just keep hitting kick and you hold, like you just stop and she holds her leg in the air and she'll like switch feet and shit. And I was like, damn, this shit looks so fucking shiny. Oh, fucking, like, plastic suit is, like, shining.
Is it good shiny, or is it shitty next-gen shiny?
Oh, no, it's shiny, like, wrappers on video game boxes shiny. Like, you know how they have, like,
right,
those
but is
fucking...
that good or bad? Cause
it's
you
good.
Know, like... Okay.
It's like, you know how you have, I don't know, you don't play trading card games, but you know how you have trading card games, they have that one card that's, like, foil and shiny and shit?
Yeah.
That game is that card.
Okay.
I just want to make sure because you know there's some games out there that like overdo the shiny, like Perfect Dark Zero, and it looks like shit.
I haven't played it, but
and to some extent, Ninja Gaiden.
Huh?
I don't feel that way. His suit, that's a good shiny to me, his suit.
Yeah.
Like, Ninja Gaiden's okay shiny to me.
Yeah, it's probably like that. Like, basically, like, the silicone suit that she's wearing.
Silicone.
I don't know what the fuck it is. I don't know what women wear these days. But it's got that gloss on it. Like,
like
pleather boots. You know pleather boots like the women wear, and they all shiny and shit?
Or like a cat suit.
Bling, bling.
Yeah, like a cat suit.
There you go.
And it's fucking cool. So get it. And get it.
Yeah, I haven't I'm looking forward to play some online games with you guys soon, so
I need your gamer tag.
Did you pay the $50?
Not yet.
Did you do you have a gamer tag? Don't announce it here
not
so
yet.
People don't spam you. Email it to
us.
Yeah,
no, not yet. Not yet. Okay. I'll get into all of that when I finally get
bling,
the funds.
Bling. Okay. And yeah, Al has to go to work. So, housekeeping.
Boy.
Game Slaves Radio is back. Episode 26 is up on their site. 27 is probably coming soon. www.gameslaves.net/...
You can just find it. Gameslaves.net. Hello for GS Radio.
Yeah. Marshy Man actually is up to episode 11 of the On Point cast. It's still on his blog. GameSpot.com/user/MarshyMan50. That's 50, not 5. Not 15, but 50. New on the site. What's new on the site? There's something new on the site. Help me out, somebody. There's nothing new on the site. Never mind. No. fuck. All right. And so for Ethan, I'm sick.
Achoo.
Achoo. For Tony.
Yeah.
For,
What are you looking at?
What are you looking at?
What are you looking at?
I am your host. What are you looking at? Psh, Chupa.
Yeah.